Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three of the most ethical game journalists on God's green earth. My name is Tommy Dasilo. I'm joined in this living room this afternoon by two of the other hosts of this show. Two of the seven other hosts of this show.
We've got time. Just keep keep going.
Keep padding. Ben Vanell.
Hello, everyone. It's hot today.
It is very hot today.
Yep. And speaking of hot, this podcast... it's going to be a spicy meatball.
Muy caliente.
The temperature outside is a lot like the caliber of takes that we're going to be throwing out.
Indeed.
Yep. Also, we've got Adam Knox.
Don't come at me unless you're going to bring that fire.
Dressed as inappropriately as I've ever seen anyone dressed.
Yeah. Kind of looks like he's cosplaying as Greg Larson. For our fans who know Greg Larson.
I've got a flannelette shirt and a shirt underneath and big pants and black shoes and it's a million degrees.
Yeah, it just looks like you're cosplaying as someone who has no idea of what climate means at all.
I left the house early in the morning and it was cooler then.
Yeah.
How early are we talking? How early and what temperature? I want to verify this story.
8 on both counts.
8 degrees.
And it's rocketed up to 35 already. Wow.
Yeah, we've been here trying to run your life for you because it's so hot and you've got a t-shirt and then a shirt over that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're trying to get you to take at least one of these layers off.
Yeah, preferably both.
Yeah.
No. It's not going to work because both are old because I need to do laundry and they're both too small. Mm-hmm. So if I take the shirt off, my gut hangs out under the t-shirt.
But wouldn't you rather be comfortable and cool? I mean, we're not going clubbing. What does it matter if it's too...
Yeah. What do you care about our opinions on how you look?
Nah,
you're not trying to fuck us.
Who knows? You don't know. And who knows when, Claudia Schiffer's coming walking through that door.
You can tell when Knox is actually uncomfortable because he just goes, every second word.
Turn into Paul McCartney. You ever notice how much Paul McCartney says, you know?
Never.
Oh,
never,
man, ever, it'll ever. Fucking bother you from now on.
Have you ever noticed how often Paul McCartney says, hey, Jude? More than most people.
That would be great if that was like, for whatever reason, some kind of contractual thing. Like, you know how Spinal Tap, the film, and the guys who
do it. Yep.
There's something where they have to do a performance of Spinal Tap every 5 years or something. Otherwise, the rights of it revert back to the movie studio.
Wow.
And then they could just go, well, we'll just get three other actors to perform a Spinal Tap and do a tour. So that's why they just, every now and then, they just re-emerge and they'll just do like a one-off show somewhere.
Oh, that's great.
What if it was like that with Hey Jude? Like Paul McCartney had to say the phrase Hey Jude a minimum of 10 times every single day or he just lost all control and royalties of that song.
Fuck, I love it.
Yeah.
He should just keep buying pets called Jude. I mean, I guess he could just name them Jude.
All his children are called Jude. It's just easier for him if he's only befriending people called Jude.
Because he'll forget otherwise. So if it naturally comes up in the course of his day, it's just easier for him.
I'd like to think that it would be that big of a deal that he wouldn't just forget.
Well,
he probably doesn't need that song as well. He's got plenty of others.
But imagine losing that song.
Nah.
What if there's like, he's got a nemesis who's been trying to steal it?
Michael Jackson owned them anyway. Does he still own them?
Welcome
to the premium Michael. Oh, yeah, well, that's true. We can't talk about Michael Jackson at length for 2 weeks in a row.
That is very true.
Someone tweeted us during the week saying that they're now their go-to source for Michael Jackson discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Someone also tweeted us saying we were asking for suggestions for what we should do on this podcast. Someone said maybe talk about video games a little bit more.
Beat it.
A wild, wild suggestion from left field.
By the way, I looked at Ben for a bit and then I turned back. Knox has done something to his hair where now he looks like fucking...
scientist.
Looks like young Einstein over there.
You see, you just asked before, why do you care about what we think you look like?
Because we're going to mock you on a podcast.
Exactly. The second I do something a bit weird with my hair, hey, get a load of muggins over here.
We did not say muggins.
Where did you get electrocuted, douchebag? In there?
I don't believe I called you a douchebag. I'll call you a cunt and nothing else.
It was a subtext.
Come on, Onion Boy, take one of those layers off. Show us that thing.
We ain't going to cry.
By the way, Knox, We're recording this in a location that we've never recorded before.
Yeah, in my sister's house.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the lighting in here?
Ooh. You know, it's a little dim. The lighting is a kind of weirdly grey as well, which I'm not a huge fan of. Also, no,
I wouldn't have said grey.
I don't see any lamps anywhere. I don't see anything like that. Yeah, it's all just window lighting currently. So,
but you want a dim room on a hot day.
Absolutely.
You know, keep those blinds down. Keep the sun out.
Yep. I like to know. You know what I mean.
How hot it is.
Yeah.
Sunny it is.
General. Knowing things is better than not knowing things.
I believe that.
I like being submerged in whatever the environment currently is.
Okay.
Like
submerged?
Like a survivalist.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't like roofs. This is not true. The blinds are constantly drawn whenever I'm
Your sister just came down the stairs and seemed scared to open the door, like it might affect the podcast in some way. The noise of the door handle.
It did positively affect the lighting. It went a little brighter for a bit. Very good.
So,
went a little brighter for a bit.
So, gaming. What do we got? What have we been doing?
Okay. I will briefly speak about Oxenfree again.
Mm-hmm.
I kept playing it.
Okay.
I wasn't that into it, but I thought, look, people have been raving about it. They've been saying it's a really well written game.
Yeah.
So I kept going, and it did not get any better.
Right.
It just didn't. There's some time travel stuff, some weird screen flickering. But the story was the same. It was just a bunch of like teenagers running around a haunted island.
And
the end.
What do you think?
That old chestnut. The old haunted teenage ghost island.
Exactly.
Are you just chewing out just watching an episode of Scooby-Doo?
On a bad TV that keeps flickering?
What do you think? Is it because, you know, everyone else is liking it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's gotten a lot of good reviews. You're not into it. What is it about it specifically for you that you're missing or that you want it to be doing that it's not doing?
I think that it has the appearance of an ambitious game.
Yeah.
And I don't think it actually is.
Okay.
So you think it's pretentious?
I don't think it is. I think that the way that people are reacting to it, they're like, oh, it's like one of those other ones that you'd put in the column of games as art.
Yeah
sure.
Like, and it's not terrible as a story or visually, it's fine.
Yeah.
But as a game, it's not very fun, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
Have you played Journey?
I haven't.
Yeah,
Have you, Nox?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it's in that category as well. Like, it's cool, but I wouldn't say it's like an amazingly fun game.
Right.
It doesn't give me the same kind of like clearing a level in Mario.
Right.
Whichever one.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better. Like climbing that flag, like scaling down that flagpole.
Totally.
Awesome. Very satisfying. Journey was kind of like really just cool, and it's a cool piece of interactive art.
Right.
But for me, anyway, it never, like, people were really raving about it, and I was like, I like this a lot. I think it looks and sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, but I wouldn't.
Journey was short, right?
Yeah, and you're never going to go back to it. Like, it's not something you'd play again. It's like 2 hours long or something, 2 or 3 hours long.
Right.
The cool thing about that was that it had a thing where other players would just sort of drop in and out.
Yeah.
Right.
And you wouldn't know if that they were different people. And it was kind of nice having this person who you like went along in this part with. And then when they disappeared or whatever, you'd be like, oh man, there goes my friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
everyone else in my life. And so, it was. Well,
that's kind of what Oxenfree is, except they're just, you know, they're written. They're all written into the story.
Yeah.
And so,
But games get a real easy pass on, like, wow, what a great story.
That's what I think is happening.
Because most of them are so shit.
Because as soon as it's not like an army thing where you're just having to go blow up 12-year-olds online, as there's a bit of kind of like, you know, fantasy, not quite fantasy, but like genuine sort of experimentation in terms of writing and creativity,
it gets
a lot of kudos.
Did either of you ever play Spec Ops The Line?
I did, yeah.
I fucking hated it.
Really?
I thought it was the lamest piece of shit. And everyone lost their minds about that, going like, man, it's like Apocalypse Now, but in a game. It's like Heart of Darkness.
Let him go. Let him finish his impression.
Sorry.
Holy dooly.
What it was is like, you know how 16-year-olds reacted to Fight Club?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it? Give us a bit of background. Because I don't know what it is. So give us a bit of background.
It's not like it's not a terrible game or
it's
anything.
Shit.
It's like a squad third person squad shooter.
Real boring
in Iraq,
right?
And
no, it's not in it's in
isn't it?
It's not in Iraq. It's in that fucking city, Dubai.
Is it?
And it's been a sandstorm.
Okay,
Dubai.
Darude. There's been a sandstorm in Darude. Yeah, there's like a big sandstorm in Dubai.
Sandstorm.
All these stands come to Dubai.
You fucked up.
Ah, no. And you're like in a military squad that's like sent in to keep the peace because there's been rioting and shit.
And then like some guy has kind of taken over in the aftermath and you got to go find him and stop him.
Right. How long ago was this?
Four years or something.
Oh, so what, PS3, like last gen.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And it was like the story is the most fucking predictable, lame bullshit story that isn't told well. And I didn't think the game played well at all. But everyone kind of went like, whoa, because it was like a very slightly different to
Well, basically what it was like you play through it initially like you would any of those games, like a Call of Duty game. You're given several choices throughout, but it kind of just, you make a choice and then it goes badly. And what it kind of reveals to you is that no matter what happens, war is hell and there's nothing you can do about it. That's basically what the game is saying to you.
But it does.
And
it
you're
most...
bad, you've shot so many people. Yeah. It's not just a game. This happens in real life. This is terrible.
And the loading screens start, like, instead of saying, like, hey, use the right stick to look around and those tips, like, at some point in the game, they start saying, like, you caused this.
Yeah.
You are a problem.
And
but
it's
it
your problem
it
with it. It's like, that's a very basic stance to take. Like,
yeah,
you're saying
it
the 16-year-old Fight Club analogy. It's like, it's like when you're a kid and you first start getting into, like, oh, yeah, consumerism is real evil. But it's like, when you're nearly 30 and you're hearing that stuff,
loose
it's like,
change,
Jesus
man.
Christ. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. No shit.
The Illuminati all, but yeah, and it's like, it's a fucking lame concept and also, or an overdone concept. And also done so ham-fistedly with literally like, look at this burn-up kid, man.
Yeah,
that's just a kid and he's been burned up.
Right.
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I guess you're like, you know, you're at home on a video game system like playing a game. You already agree war is bad. Like you're not, you know what I mean? Who's the target audience of that?
It's like you kind of get the best thing out of it, out of that concept, by hearing it described.
Yeah, sure.
You're like, oh, cool, that's a good idea. It's
well, this.
But
kind
I actually thought the game was fun to play, which made it better.
Yeah, I didn't
more
like
palatable
that aspect of it either.
Yeah.
It was part of the problem.
Right.
Well, this kind of ties into a question that we got in the old mailbag.
Yep.
Oh, testicles.
You said that before we recorded.
Yeah.
Mailbag.
Yeah, no, we get it. No, we got it.
Mm.
Ball sack.
Yeah, no, we... Knox, we understand. Like, we get the joke.
Yeah.
We get what you're saying.
We get the concept. You just delivered it very ham-fistedly.
We're just
nuts.
You're the spec ops the line of people.
My testicles will burn up, man.
Is this war right now? Because this is hell, listening to this. But yeah, someone emailed us asking, what was the exact question? How do we prioritize?
How do we spend our money?
How do we spend our
cash? Basically, because...
Pretty personal question.
Fuck is some blow, man.
How much do you guys earn per year?
How much? Just carry one. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I, for like 4 years, I had a full-time corporate job. So I've kind of just bought everything.
Yeah.
Now I do have to prioritize. So what are Steam sales?
Yeah. I'm... See, this is the thing. Like, you Knox, you seem to have played a lot of games that you don't like. I can't really think of too many games that I've played and gotten to the end and gone, I didn't enjoy that, because I've always had to prioritize.
Yep.
And I've always just gone, I'm not going to... I'll do the research. If the reviews consensus seems to be generally pretty good, I'll go in. Like, I just kind of don't take the risk unless I'm pretty certain that I'm going to...
Yeah.
That's have a really good time.
All the ones I haven't liked, though, have been ones where people have gone like, yeah, man, here we go. This is it. This is great.
Yep. Right.
And then they end up being shitty.
Yep.
And I do the same thing. Where, like, I had a real bad habit when I had a big boy job.
Yep.
For a while.
When did you have a big boy job?
Yeah.
I've had big boy jobs.
I've never known you to have a job.
Man, you don't know my life. You don't know what I do.
What was your big boy job?
Yeah.
In all seriousness.
Well, it's not that big boy of a job. Retail.
Right.
Okay.
So you just worked.
But I was working full-time retail for ages.
Yep. So you can go on with your story.
Yeah.
Sorry.
With Steam sales and shit.
Yep.
Buying stuff that I'd never ended up playing.
Oh, man. I have over 100 games on Steam and I've played 30?
Yeah. I ended up with a silly amount. I ended up selling that account to my brother.
Right.
And then sort of buying a couple of things again. But now I've got like 15 or something. Like just only ones. And some of them I still haven't fucking played as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah. What I often find happening is that, like, there's a bunch of games from the last 10 years that I've loved. maybe, you know, like 10 that I will replay.
Yeah.
So I'll get on Steam and I'll be like, oh, a sci-fi RPG action game. Let's see if they've got any of those.
Right.
And I'll see a whole bunch of them that I've never heard of. And I'll go, oh, no, I mean, they are $5. I'll try this one. I'll play it for an hour and go, this isn't like Mass Effect. Then I'll go and play Mass Effect again.
Yeah, see, I would never do that. I would never. I go big on word of mouth. Like,
right.
If someone online is like who I know and like is like, hey, this is really cool. Check this out. You know, I'll go research it then. But I would never just browse through and go, oh, what's this? Like, I do that with music. Like, I'll try anything with music. But with games, I think generally because it's more of an investment as well.
Yep.
But also, like, update on me saying last week I was going to buy a PS4 in this week just gone.
Mm-hmm.
That is dependent on me. I've been working a job for the last month, and without going into it, they are yet to pay me, and they owe me a lot of money, and I keep getting told that I'll be paid this week. So,
man, you can't trust brothels anymore.
But yeah, I think once you get the console, I also think if you're not going
to console, I'm much more hesitant to dole out some cash.
Because there's never the same sort of sales.
Totally.
There's
never the same sort of sales.
But at the same time, once you have the console, it's easier to just, like, if you know someone who's, if you don't mind coming to the party pretty late with stuff, it's easy to just, like, you know, you can borrow something off a friend and trade it in. That's why I'm really, with all the, like, buying stuff digitally, I'm still real hesitant on that because, in general, stuff when it comes out online on e-stores is more expensive than just going and buying it at JB.
By, like, 40
and then you
bucks
can't,
sometimes.
Yeah. You can't trade in. You can't,
bucks.
You know, you can't swap it with someone. You can't sell it if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. And then I've done that before, but I'm like, I want to play this right now. And then you go in and it, like, takes a fucking day to download.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I could be playing it now if I'd just gone down to the shop.
Well, yeah. I'll never pre-order a game either. That seems
insanely pointless.
Yeah.
Not worth doing.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, like, because they've tried to incentivize people to do it by going, like, hey, man, if you pre-order, you get this red gun.
Ah. Yeah, a little statue, it would have to be. I've never seen any of those kind of rewards that's made me want it. It's like
generally DLC I'm not into. Unless I end up loving the game so much that I want to just keep playing.
Like the Mass Effect ones are really good.
Yeah, exactly. But otherwise it's not an incentive to me.
Yeah, I'm hoping, cuz Far Cry Primal's out very soon, isn't it? It's out in like the next it's at the end of the month.
I think it is late February.
Yeah, like the 29th.
Yeah. And then we got Uncharted 4 is end of April.
Right.
You know what it is? It's literally like, it's like 4 days after the comedy festival finishes.
Oh, really?
You fucking beauty!
Nice. Fuck. We can spend our sweet, sweet cash that we make from our shows on Uncharted 4.
And
you went in on The Witness this week.
Yeah, nice. That's actually something I'd put money down for.
Yep.
Because I knew I was going to like it because I liked the one that the guy made before, this guy Jonathan Blow. And it's just a puzzle game.
Yep.
So you're on this island, you're walking around, these line puzzles of different types, like some are mazes, some you have to sort of separate different sections, some you have to outline different sections. Like a lot of different types where none of them get repetitive.
Right.
Some of them are fucking difficult as well. I only played it for like maybe 2 or 3 hours, but it looks really good and I've been really enjoying it so far. It has that thing where like it makes you feel like a genius at the best points of it. Like when you clock how something works and go like, oh fuck, right, then it's real good. It's worth all the little frustrating bits.
What are you playing it on?
On the personal computer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
think it might be worth waiting for if you have an iPad for the iPad version.
Yeah,
if that's good, I don't know if it will be, but it's pretty straightforward the way it controls, and I think it'd be cool. I'd love to be able to play it on my phone.
Yeah,
yeah, right. It's just going back to the intent, prioritizing payment of games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. I'm not really up with this. How easy or difficult is it to pirate? Like this current generation of games. Is that out there?
PC, it's real easy still.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah.
Although some, like Just Cause 3 apparently is unpiratable. It's got some new thing and they haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Yeah,
they
right.
definitely will eventually.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo have always been like, you know, they're my big go-to of their blockbuster titles. And they're like, they've always been very like complete lockdown on their systems.
Yeah, well,
I'm just thinking about it. It is one of the. It is really one of the last forms of entertainment that's like for me. Yeah. There's just no option. I've got no qualms, and it's probably not great to say this in public. I download music. Dodgily. Yeah. I do it the same with movies. Yeah. I avoid it as much as I can.
Yeah.
But in terms of just wanting to try everything that's out there and just get a taste of something before I know I'm going to love it and then go out and spend the money on it.
Yeah. And since we're contributing to the arts, I think we get a bit of a
absolutely
a free pass.
But games, that's why I have to prioritize because there's just not that option. There's not that option of getting something for free and so having a bit of a go of it and then going, hey, I love this, so I'll get it on.
Nintendo things are actually all really easy to play.
Yeah, broke my Wii.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's really easy to do. Then I just you can play any Wii or GameCube game on it.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
There's a cartridge you can get for your 64 that's called an EverDrive. I don't know how much. I don't think they're illegal.
I don't know.
This guy makes them in Ukraine. Well, the whole thing just put an SD card in it and it's a 64 cartridge and you can play any game on there.
Wow. Well, the whole thing with ROMs is meant to be. Like, they're technically not illegal because you're meant to be using them as a backup to something that you already own.
Yeah. So, it's all weird and it's a grey area, but not morally. Morally, you just shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's not a grey area at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. There's...
Because growing up, like, I had the 64, which was around the era of everyone else having the PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
And that was...
You got it chipped.
Yeah, so I just never had access to it. I had to get Nintendo's decision for cartridges was.
Yeah, I don't think my parents ever let me mod our PlayStation.
Oh, really?
But everyone else did.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a modded one. Got to get that Army Men air attack, man. Free air attack, baby.
Is it what do you mean? Is that?
Oh, it's a bad game.
It's a bad game.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant that was like a game that you could only get through pirating.
There are some of them, like all the like homebrew games. There's fucking weirdos making games for the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Still coming out like right now.
The Dreamcast is very, for whatever reason, very popular. Like the hardware, there's something in it.
You just didn't need to do anything. I think it just worked.
Yeah, right.
Like only some of the models or something.
Probably a link there with why they ended up basically going out of business.
Yeah. One fucking idiot forgot to put like the little chip. Tony, do the chip.
Hey, Tony.
And they're a Japanese company, so his name would be Tony.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Tony's son. Put the fucking chip in there.
I did put the chip. The Dorito chip, is that what you meant? Tony's a fucking moron.
Knox does Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. But the PS3 and the 360 now apparently real easy to get into. And
but the PS4?
It'll happen.
It's always behind a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird though. Like they haven't figured out how to emulate the original Xbox. There's something about it, the way it's built, that nobody remembers how they built it or something, or they haven't gotten the technical documents or something, so can't.
It's crazy to me now that it's like very easy to emulate 64 games on the computer. And like I remember when I first got into emulated stuff when I was in high school and the laptop I had for school, like. Because it was like in the heyday that it was like, imagine being able, like you just, your computer wouldn't have been able to handle it. And now it's just like, it's so easy. It's just like, boom, get a ROM, away you go.
And it's actually good because like, it really bothers me down the back of my head, the idea that the way that a lot of games are now where they've got a lot of multiplayer stuff included or they need a patch right away or whatever.
Yeah.
So you need to access all the online servers and whatever. But that shit gets switched off.
Yeah.
So it's all going to disappear at some point.
Yeah.
And the only people who are really preserving it are like pirates, basically.
Yeah. And there's not really now much eye being put on, like with developers going, oh, we want this to be a game that has longevity, that people will still be talking about.
Yeah, they want to actually plan the obsolescence. They want people to have to rebuy stuff
but
every year.
It's so bizarre that no one is thinking about that these days when we're living in the time when it's proven that like people still play and rejoice over Super Nintendo games. Mm. Like there's still a real legacy around the NES and they weren't trying to do that. It just happened.
Yeah.
The proof is there for us to see. Like you can make stuff that really stands the test of time.
But again,
no one seems to be trying to really do it.
Well, because they've monetized that
totally
and made their virtual shop and whatever and so
they want you to buy the HD remaster
I suppose so but then you do have stuff
fucking
like
marketing man watch Loose Change Fight Club was amazing
but you still do have things like The Witness seems like it'll be like man I haven't played it but it sounds very simple in concept and execution and that stuff doesn't date.
Yeah.
No, and I reckon basically everyone should play it. I think everyone will like it.
Yeah.
It's real good. So that's my recommendation of the week.
You can't get it on. It's weird that it's
we
not
We should
also,
do a recommendation
on,
of the week,
it's on
by the way.
PS4 and PC, and I think it's coming to just iPads.
Yeah, well. Right. It's kind of weird to me that it's not on PS3. Is it that graphically immense that it couldn't?
Are people still developing for the PS3?
Like stuff the FIFA games and stuff come out
oh, right.
for a while and that yeah. sort of stuff.
Especially, like, because it's just an eShop title, right? Or whatever there.
You can't downloadable one,
Yeah. So, like, why not put it up? Anyway, get your fucking ass, Jonathan Blow.
Yeah.
Just scale it down. Make it black and white if you have to.
Put it out on Game Boy. That's all I've got.
Oh, dear.
Something else I did this week
was
download Twofold Inc., which we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. I don't know. I'm not really enjoying it because I think I'm not very good at it. And
in what way?
Like, it's tough. It's so what you're meant to do, you get like a grid, right, of all these different colored squares.
Yep.
And you've got to chain together as many of the squares as possible.
Oh, I just remembered a piece of feedback we got.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah.
We're apparently really bad at describing games.
Yeah. Well, and especially, I already had a crack at describing this last week.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think that was what prompted the comment. But
well, because I also had to describe Oxenfree, and I felt very self-conscious when I read that. I
but like, we said what? This in our first episode. There is no way to describe games without a visual thing, without...
sounding like an
just
idiot.
On audio without sounding like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Let me prove you wrong.
Oh.
Twofold Inc. is a 7x5
Don't just read
grid.
The description off the app store.
No. I'm looking at the game. There's 7x5 blocks, all little squares.
Yep.
Yeah, they're four different colors.
Mm-hmm.
White, blue, red, and yellow.
Okay. Okay.
WB. RY.
Primary colors and white.
No green. And so what you've got to do is these colors sit next to each other in little squares. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Just hanging out next to you. Me too, mate. And then you...
What does the blue one sound like?
It's... Ray, what's going on?
Thought so.
Blue boy. Anyway, you drag your finger...
And the yellow one?
All right. Oh, hey, how you doing? I could have gone a real different direction
with
that.
I was hoping you would.
It kind of was setting you up for it, but... go on.
I'm trying. Okay, so it's all these squares sitting next to each other. You drag your finger along, you try and make a little line out of them, and however many...
Jesus Christ. Oh.
This is worse than Tommy's description.
Anyway, it's not great. I wouldn't bother with it.
Okay.
My description, I think it's a cross between Candy Crush and a Rubik's Cube. It's your typical matching in a line of squares game, but you can move the columns up or down to line up so that you can make the thing.
Yep.
And you've got a set number of moves. I'm just repeating stuff I said last week.
Yeah.
Your moves count for having a crack at doing the lines.
Yeah.
And they also count for moving the tiles around.
And so...
And you've got a set number... You just get these challenges, so it's like you've got to clear 8 red ones and 10 blue ones.
Sure.
And you've got to do that in a set number
and
of moves.
Would you say, Tommy, that you were bad at it or good at it? Or... okay.
I think with most puzzle games, you know, you start off and you kind of... You know, you take a few hits early on. But that's what I always find... fun about it is that, especially if you're in a long, like, you know, I talked about threes last week. Threes is the ultimate where you bum out and then you just back in. Just reset immediately. It doesn't take long to just, like, build up a new game. And that chase of, like, getting a big combo or a big ongoing thing, that becomes addictive. And especially if you just do it on one long train trip or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that you often find, like, you download it at the start and then by the end of the trip you're like, oh, I get this now. Like, I'm already starting to develop tactics.
Yeah.
And I get... And initially when you start playing, there'll be something about it where you're like, I don't quite get this mechanic of it.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't... It took me ages to figure out that you have to start in twofold. You have to start the lines from... They have to be at the edge. Like, you can't start them from the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, why can't I connect these? Like, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, that makes... That mechanic makes sense.
There's like... there's a part of this that I think I'm either not getting or the game is fucked and it's not there.
Are you colorblind?
All of the things look the same.
Because earlier today, just in this episode, you said it's grey in here.
That is dumb.
I wouldn't say grey.
It would be fucked to play this if you were colorblind.
Well, they have colorblind mode on it. Like all those really? Kurt games. Actually, well, you know what? I'm going to go into it now and turn it on and see what it
but
looks like.
It's one of those things where you have to be setting up for like five moves in the future.
Right.
Because I run out of colors that are linked together. And so I just get annoyed by it. But, you know, I'm terrible at it. First time I tried to play it, I accidentally texted my ex. Oh, that's how bad at that game I am. Second time I tried to play it, I blew up a nuke.
Yeah, shut up. So colorblind mode just has, like, the colors, but they've got, like, white has a circle on it.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Smart. Blue has a triangle.
Right.
Yeah, it was $6, which is quite a lot for it, I think.
It is a lot, but, you know, I've said this a lot about, you know, in-app purchase games. You know what? $6. Who cares? It's enough. Yeah. It's a cup of coffee.
That's true, but
yeah.
It's...
A cup of coffee in Perth, if you know what I'm saying. It's you know what? Yeah, pay the $6. Throw the developers some coin.
Yep.
I mean, App Store stuff is, like, I know iTunes are taking a cut, but to me, like, that sort of stuff is, like, that's a real pure way where the business model is just, especially when it's a small developer, you know that they're getting that money.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? If you buy something in a shop, it's like, well, how much of this really ends up going back to the guys that made it? Like, if there's a big publisher and then what's the store taking out of that and all that kind of stuff. Buying a cute little game on the App Store is like, you feel good about it, whether you end up playing it heaps or not. It's like, well, you know, I gave it a nudge for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
The people that made it, they actually got a decent size of that money. The iTunes Store does take a lot, but it still is the most.
I think that's why people like that sort of Patreon stuff now and Kickstarter as well, is because you are seeing exactly where the money's going.
Yeah.
Which,
but there's been a lot of stories.
Hopefully, if you see it with rose-colored glasses, you see where the money's going.
I see everything with. I'm very colorblind.
We're on the other. By the way, you've undone the shirt. It looks fine.
Yeah, it looks great, man.
Well, thanks, babe.
You look. I feel more at ease because I think you're more comfortable.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Fuck.
It's interesting because in the last. It seems like there's been a lot more of it happening in the last couple of weeks especially.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was the initial boom of everything Kickstarter and, like, how great is this? You know, it's a meritocracy.
That Zach Braff movie got funded through Kickstarter.
Finally.
Yep.
People can just, you know, there's just complete...
Fucking Garden State. That's another 16-year-old bullshit thing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I hated that even when
it's
I was...
It's such a like bad
18
movie.
When I saw it, I hated it.
Oh, yeah. It's awful.
It's
I'm
going
to stand in this place and do something nobody's ever done before.
Oh,
you're so cute.
It's my favorite movie.
Yeah, I bet it is.
I'm pretty
not
sure
like a mini Zach Braff.
It was my favorite movie when I was 17. Yeah. Hey,
I'm pretty sure we've talked about it before on the show, but I saw it when I was 18.
Yeah.
And with you know who I saw it with?
Who?
Our Zach friend Pete Braff. From the last episode. An update on him, he's out of the hospital.
Oh, good to hear.
And into the morgue.
Like one of my best friends has died. I'm just here doing a podcast, just cracking jokes. I'm so chill about it.
I don't know. Twofold's pretty good.
What was the last thing he recommended to me before he passed?
He also said never get anyway.
I saw it with him, and but even like I was at that age where I did love all that kind of very on the nose, like just be an individual man and just you know life is art. But it's
go out there and ride a moped.
Still, even at that age where I just was like so in the realm of all that stuff, I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Napoleon Dynamite as well, I really hated.
I was fine with that at the time. I don't know.
It just, the movie was kind of average, but it was all the people go like, oh, gosh, and everything.
Vote for Pedro.
For fucking months.
That shouldn't have become a giant
afterwards.
Meme.
Yeah.
No, it what was really, there? Oh, oh, come on.
They're still out there, you know, those guys wearing those T-shirts. God bless them.
I was sitting at a desk the other day in an office, in a big corporate office, and on the desk was a mug that said, vote for Pedro.
Oh, wow.
Great stuff.
Wait, on your
desk? Wouldn't that have been on your desk? Yeah.
Is this just a story about how you bought a vote for Pedro mug?
Have you heard of hot desking?
What's hot desking?
When you work in a big corporate office, you just rotate your desks around all the time. You don't have a set desk.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, that's something you had to pay a Spanish girl a lot of money for.
Cleveland hot desk. No, because it promotes like not becoming stale or static.
This is like the office version
of a fucking Mad Hatter. What's wrong with it?
That's very good.
I was about to say it's like the office equivalent of a Steiner school.
Yeah, no, most I think most offices are like that now.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm out of touch.
Yeah, I'm out of touch too. Yeah.
Last office I was in had a big whistle that blew at the end of the day.
Last office I was in, it wasn't a whistle, it was a bird, and he yanked his tail. Then I rode home on my Brontosaurus. Oh. By the way, why is there a TV in front of the other TV in this living room? What's your sister doing in here?
I don't know. I don't think either of those are her TVs either.
Well, the plot thickens.
Yeah. I think they just steal TVs and this is where they store them.
Wow, look what Zach Braff did to us. Really got us off track here, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Kickstarter thing, initially, it was this real kind of, it felt like this is it. I mean, this is just people getting the entertainment exactly what they want.
Power to
no middleman interference from a network or a studio or whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
Now it's starting to come crashing down because a lot of those projects have not delivered.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people taken for a ride.
A lot of the reason these kind of like singular artistic geniuses aren't still getting their projects made is because they're not organized properly. Yeah. They're just... They're intelligent, but they're just shit at producing.
They like the drive, yeah. If they had what it takes to see a game to completion, they'd probably have the drive to have gotten a job at a big studio.
Totally, and maybe the reason they're one of their earlier projects was successful is because they were reined in by a system that does work mostly.
Yeah, I mean. There's certain things that you can trust. I mean, we've talked a bit about Ukulele, the ex-Rare guys. I mean, those guys, they know what they're doing. They've been in the biz for years and years and years.
Totally.
And there's some stuff on Kickstarter that's delivered. Like, I haven't played any of these.
Oh,
but
we're not saying that literally everything on there doesn't come to fruition.
We're saying quite the opposite. We're saying, there's a few projects that haven't worked.
But it does seem
It's the bubble has burst is what I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of flipped and it's like, it's now just long enough on that we're starting to see the other side of it, risks and the negativity of it.
It seems really easy to get away with scams on it. Like, it seems like some people have genuinely just fucking pyramid schemed their way through Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like anything. It's like Enron or any of those kinds of things. It's like, hey, you fucked it. Well, you fucked up big time. I want my money back. The money is not there. Yeah. So
I think early on it was, there seemed to be more of a stigma in the air that it was like, You know, you got to deliver. It's like the honor system, basically. But I think that we all felt like there must have been some kind of structure to stop them just taking the money.
Yeah.
And then a couple of people have realized, oh, no, if we just say that we spent it on this, but then we didn't get enough budget to complete it, then we don't have to give any money back.
Well, and I think Kickstarter itself, I'm not a lawyer, but I think Kickstarter itself.
You're not?
No, but I'd like to announce my Kickstarter to get me a law degree. I need $800. And a ticket to Vegas.
Mm.
I'll end up with more. Anyway, I'll...
You don't even know how to gamble, let alone be a lawyer.
I can gamble. Put 800 on black, please.
All right, Wesley.
Sir, this is a poker table.
I saw a thing the other day for the film Anomalisa. New Charlie Kaufman.
Yep.
Yeah. That was Kickstarter funded.
That's right, it was too. Yeah. Dan Harmon's animation studio did it. Yeah.
And I saw a thing of, what was it? It was someone getting the shits on Twitter at the director because one of their Kickstarter pledges had been that you'll get a copy of it. And this person going, you know, why haven't we got our fucking copies yet?
Yeah.
And he was like, look at it. It said after it's been wide released.
Right.
And he's like, well, it has been released. He's like, no, it's traveling. It's done a bunch of film festivals and it's done a limited release.
Yeah.
It's scheduled to come out properly in February.
Yeah.
And then after that, you'll get your copy. And this guy was like, oh, well, that's a fucking nice, you know, mincing of the facts, isn't it? And like, he's really been taken to the cleaners. And it's like, dude, the film got made. Mm. You're going to get your copy.
Yeah.
Like, just let them have it out in the cinemas and get seen by people before you and your shitted Kickstarter mates leak it and put it online
and have
it torrented. Like, I don't know. I think there is too. I think there's people's like get so kind of like, you know, defensive and like, our rights are being violated. And, you know,
there's a bit of entitlement.
There's so much entitlement. Like, we've been ripped off. It's like, you chipped in and you gave the money and good on you. But surely, your reward is that you got to be a part of this thing being made.
Yeah.
Like,
After we spoke about Star Citizen the other week, I looked at, you know, their like, pledge page and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I'm with you, Noxie. It looks just unrealistically ambitious.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be
real. It's a scam.
Yeah. And
it's
like, they've apparently released an alpha. No one's reviewing. Like, there's nothing. No one's talking about it. It's like, it seems really weird.
Can't review a scam, man.
Yeah.
I think we should get in on it. Get scamming.
It's all right.
But surely that's the thing too, is that you've got to exercise a bit of discretion. Like, I, even from day one of all that Kickstarter stuff, I always thought, like, I've never chipped into anything, if I'm being completely honest. I've never chipped into a Kickstarter. But, you know, there were certain things I saw where I was like, wow, that's a big risk. Like, but then also, fuck, man, if you put in $10 and it doesn't pan out, I mean,
you've got to be prepared.
It
for
was
that.
$10. Yeah. Yeah. You can put in $10 and think, oh wow, I'm gonna like this. Is like the sort of thing I want to see made. Mm. You might get it and fucking hate it. Who knows?
You can pay for a movie ticket, watch the movie, not enjoy it. Like, it's
that's exactly it. I mean, this is the problem that you fall into a lot, where people are willing to take risks on, and it goes back to what we're talking about, prioritizing the money that we spend on games. People are more than happy to take risks on some things, but not others. Yeah. Like, people will willingly just go see a movie that might be shit ass. Like, people will go see a new action blockbuster and come out going, yeah, it was real bad, but try and get them, you know, a comedy festival.
Yeah.
When you're flying, it's like, hey, this is an experience in a room with someone who's worked really hard on something.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Well, the world's fucked.
man.
Yep. That's the conclusion.
But we should say very quickly,
the Illuminati, man, Fight Club, man.
I think the greatest story of
all time
crowdfunding, this ant simulator thing that we just were briefly reading.
I don't really know much about this. What is it?
The bit that I've read is, these guys started up a Kickstarter for a game called Ant Simulator. They've blown all the money. They've blown all the money on strippers and alcohol.
Is that really what they've spent it on?
That's apparently, in the thing I just read.
How much
fucking
strippers and alcohol did they get?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a whole game's worth. Games cost millions of dollars.
Yeah. I don't think they had tons in the Kickstarter.
They must have been tall strippers.
I think it was a few thousand or something. So it wasn't like a crazy, crazy amount.
Yeah, right.
That's the other thing. I think everyone thinks that they're going to be, and you know, we've seen in the comedy industry, a lot of people try and start Kickstarters for projects that they want
to
start.
Get me to Edinburgh.
Things where you go work at Coles for a bit if you believe in it that much.
Yeah.
And but it's nothing delights me more than seeing someone's post about a Kickstarter and going, fucking hell, just like you scum, and then you go on it and it's like, currently they're at like $18 and you go, okay, well,
the world is
the system does kind of work.
Free market, man. Fight Club, man. Anyway.
He's malfunctioning.
No, he's functioning pretty much as he's meant to. What do we got? We got anything else to chew through?
We watched, me and Ben, at separate times, the trailer for the new Doom game.
Now, what's your hot take, Noxy? Because I have a very firm one.
Well, it sounds like you want to tell me yours.
And what about your take?
I really enjoyed the trailer. No, I fucking hated the trailer.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. It looks like they kind of misunderstood what was appealing. Or maybe it's the fact that we're older now and we're not just excited by demons exploding when we...
I'm going to watch it live on this podcast.
Oh, okay. Do a commentary.
Doom trailer 2016?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Campaign trailer? No.
Yeah, it'll be that one. I think it is that one.
Oh, from Bethesda.
Yeah. Okay. They're the publisher now. But it's id still, but none of the people really.
Right, okay. All right.
Back in the day.
You guys feel free to fill time while I'm
what's happening?
This.
You describe what you're seeing.
Software game. There's a big tower with some lightning up the top of it. Yeah, this does all... Oh, okay. There's like a dead guy is covered in blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just smashed his head into a wall. Mm-hmm. Now he's in a lift. now he's got a... Yeah, this all looks pretty much by the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That terrible industrial
it's a lot
metal
of,
in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Just stepped on a guy's head and exploded. Yeah.
Chainsawing people. And
a lot of blood.
Yeah.
But that is all the original Doom games were, really.
Yeah, but I think
They were about like the level design, I guess, and like the weapons felt really good and all that sort of stuff.
Oh man, yeah. If I was 16, I'd be. Oh yeah, here comes the chainsaw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's kind of.
Just hearing the audio of it, it is noticeable how much it's just like slushy gut sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Like, yeah, it doesn't look like it's doing anything too different to what the first one is. But the first one has that charm of like it's shitty graphics, so you have to kind of work a bit harder to convey a mood and a tone. You can't just go, here's a fucking thing that's eight stories that's going to stomp on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like just having only watched it 8 seconds ago. It looks like that side of video games that is, just marketed at 16-year-olds and real Mountain Dew Doritos.
Absolutely.
Kind of crowd.
I'm definitely going to get it.
Fuck.
Wow, I've never done a live reaction thing before.
How
they're
do you
popular,
feel?
Aren't they?
How do you feel?
I feel a bit gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were kind of doing a live reaction to your live reaction.
bloody Inception over here.
Eh? Anyone wants to feel
what
themselves?
An amazing movie. Oh, my God. The Illuminati, by the way.
Yeah, it does look a little. When's it meant to be out?
Like April-ish, I think.
I don't
like
give
that.
A fuck.
Not that. Well. No, I don't know. It looks like...
Are you actually going to buy it and play it?
I don't know if I'll buy it straight away or whatever. Like, I'll see what people say about it.
Yeah. But
I like Doom, all the old ones. And that Wolfenstein, like, sort of remake or reboot...
Yes.
That was a couple of years ago.
Was very good.
Yeah, and it's the same...
It could be fun. I mean,
the
obviously, they're in the trailer, they're making it, you know... They're putting all the big high-octane bits.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, that industrial kind of, like, I don't know. I'm a bit...
Ah, fuck, it feels like a game out of time. It feels like...
Yeah, fuck yeah. Nah. That's great.
I actually don't think it's the same team as Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein was Machine Games.
Oh, okay. This is
it,
like, yeah. Well, whoever it is, it's apparently a similar sort of. But I don't know. It might end up being terrible.
It looks terrible.
Bethesda have a pre E3 conference booked in, which they did last year. I believe it was when they announced Fallout 4.
Right.
And so there's all speculation of like, well, what's this going to be?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
I think it's meant to come out before then, that one. They will probably say what the downloadable stuff for Fallout 4 will be.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've
been
fucking selling... Here's another thing with like being careful where to spend your money. In the box for Fallout 4, there was a thing that was like, buy the season pass now, get all of the DLC. They hadn't said a fucking word and still haven't of what that actually is going to be.
Yeah, this season pass crap, I'm not...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all a little... It's
You're not a fucking
shonky.
Basketball team. You can't expect me to pay a season pass.
What does a season pass generally cost?
For basketball, about $300.
For video games, what, like 30?
It's like 60 plus. It's
oh, really?
Like often
I think I've only bought one ever, and it was like the Arkham Knight one.
Right, yeah, and then it's meant to be when new stuff comes out.
You get all of
you
it.
You just get it, and that works out as being a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is dodgy that they're selling it when it's probably not even in development yet. Like, they don't even know how much there's going to be in it.
It'd probably be in development, but they've not told anyone what it is. So you're paying...
You can't decide if it appeals to you or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're paying for, like, it's... you're not paying... You're paying for... Jesus. Oh, I'm back. You're paying for something that you don't know what it is.
There you go.
That's what I just said. You could have just shut up.
Nah.
You could have just shut up.
Oh, best DLC I've played, BioShock Infinite's DLC.
Yeah,
really,
real
really
good.
Good.
Real good.
Stuff?
Yeah, great stuff.
Like a second game, basically.
Yes, yeah.
Like a whole sequel to it.
Yep.
See, again, being a big Nintendo boy, never had much in the way of DLC.
Mario Kart
8 stuff was awesome. Like that
a
was
a lot of Mercedes.
I mean, the Mercedes
Nintendo
stuff sucked, but it was free, and it was just for them to announce.
Smash Brothers has had some weird.
Smash Brothers
ones,
has had is ongoing,
yeah.
But it's like again, it's just I don't know. The Mario Kart one was great because it was just like two packs that both had 8 new courses and 3 new drivers. So it's like okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But the Smash Brothers one is like you pay per character and per level. Like
just give
me a pack. Just give me a $15 pack.
Yeah.
Don't make me pay $5 for Ryu. Like, it just seems, for just one character, it seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He seems kind of cool because you can do the same Street Fighter moves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, it's all cool. It's just how the pricing breaks down. And it's like, I kind of feel like there's a completest part of me where you should have it all, but then it's like, I don't want to buy a bunch of me fighting costumes that I'm never going to use, but I feel like I'm not having the full experience
if
I don't have it on there.
And I have that exact same thought. And I hate it because that's what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, I mean, I say I have that thought. I haven't done anything about it. I haven't actually gone and
bought it. Nah, but sometimes you'll be looking at it and you're going, for a second, and then you get over it immediately. But that little second there, maybe it's worth the $5.
No, it's not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Should we wrap this up for this week?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. Keep the feedback coming in, guys. We've been enjoying reading that.
Yep.
A lot of you out there.
It's not going to be as hot next week. Hopefully,
it is going to be hotter, right?
Oh, yeah. We're in Perth as well, so it's going to be real hot. Actually, baby, if you're in Perth, then come down. Where are we? Noodle Palace.
Yes.
During the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
I'm doing a solo stand-up show with a all my best comedy I've ever had with gems such as this. Then play a clip of my stand-up there, please. And this.
Why'd you look at me? I don't edit this.
Play another clip of my stand-up there, please. And even this one. Do maybe like Reba or something.
Again, stop pointing. Ben, you got to remember to do this.
Maybe Reba or something like that. Put her there.
And if, despite that, you still want to see Adam Knox on stage, come and see Chimp Cop. It's me, Noxy, and Timothy Clark doing, again, our best sketches. Such as this.
And then play one of our sketches there, Tommy.
Adam, we're not doing this. We're not going to put sketch. We can't put a whole sketch in. This one.
Oh, there's another sketch just there.
Adam, this is like 20 minutes of extra content that you've just...
Or maybe no this. And then put like a clip from
the
show.
Why don't we release
Reba.
This?
No one's going to come if they A, think it's Reba, and B, they've heard all these good sketches on the podcast.
We'll release it as DLC.
Reba DLC.
I like the sound of that. Chimp Cop, we're there from the 13th of February. No, from the 10th to the 13th.
10th to the 13th.
Good Lord.
At Noodle Palace.
So Wednesday this week.
Yeah.
Until Saturday this week. So if you live in Perth... we'd love to see you come down.
Yep, we don't really know anyone in Perth, so please come.
I don't know anyone here.
Oh, boy. I don't know myself. If you're in Melbourne, also, we're all doing comedy festival stuff.
Yeah.
My show, Little Golden Dassolo, is on sale now, TommyDassolo.com. You guys have Chimp Cop in Melbourne.
Yeah, Chimp Cop Nights. Which, if you act quickly and use the code half off, HALFOFF.
Yeah.
When you book through Try Booking, you get half price tickets until Saturday.
I feel like if you can't work out how to spell half off without prompting, you don't deserve the cheap tickets.
You probably
that would have been
probably
mine.
Got a concession card, I reckon.
But also our prime audience.
Yeah, true. And I'm doing a solo stand up show there.
No one cares about that, man.
Play a clip of Reba.
God. And hey, let's do a bit more sizzle. We are pretty close to announcing a live version of this during the comedy festival.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got a date.
Yep.
Keep, what is it, Saturday the
9th of April. Yeah.
In the afternoon.
Yes.
We're going to be doing something. We'll announce it all soon. We got some buddies of ours coming
special
down from
guests.
Interstate.
Yeah. Let's just say it rhymes with Bieber. Justin Bieber will not be there.
Okay.
But something rhymes with it.
Okay, that's all we have,
Reba.
I guess. Yeah, keep emailing us, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Filthycashpod at Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, Jesus. And Facebook, Filthy Casuals Podcast. And as we say here at the end of every episode, Knox, take it away.
Good morning, video
Jesus
games.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell.
Play a clip of Reba instead.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.